Pop Spotting 121.
Monday, September 5th, 2011.
You're insane. No, I can't do it.
You have to do it, Rachel.
Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
It's Movie Monday, and we are here to talk about a movie just out last week. It's called The Debt. Mm-hmm. It's directed by John Madden, who is well known for Shakespeare in Love. It's a big budget remake of an Israeli film.
That's right, and it's nothing like Shakespeare in Love. It's put out as a big spy psychological thriller. It was dumped here at the end of summer, usually where some pretty horrible movies come out. This film's release was delayed quite a bit because Miramax wasn't doing very well financially, so Focus Features picked it up, but it's finally out, and it's got a rock star cast. What did you think of The Debt?
I loved it. It's one of my favorite action movies from the last few years because it had everything. It had action and political intrigue and a tragic love story. And there's even a lot of really effective psychological drama.
Absolutely. I would agree. Now, it's got a great cast, headlined primarily by Helen Mirren. Everyone loves Helen Mirren.
Yes.
But basically, the story is about three secret agents, Israeli intelligence officers, Mossad agents, that are trying to track down a Nazi war criminal in 1966 back in East Berlin and trying to bring him to justice, and over the years they grow to be war heroes. And so the action is split between that time period, the 60s, there's a stopover in the 70s, and then everything happening in the relative present in 1997. So you had Helen Mirren, she played the older Rachel, the younger Rachel was played by Jessica Chastain, and who are the two other agents?
Stefan was played by both Tom Wilkinson and Martin Sokas, and David was played by Kieran Hines and Sam Worthington.
Right, so again, split across time, same characters. Notably, all of the young actors are British, and of course, the older actors are from all over the place. But despite that, they're doing a solid job playing Jewish characters, playing people from Israel, except for the nemesis, except for the bad guy, except for this war criminal, the Angel of Death, played quite solidly in both time periods, actually, by Jesper Christensen. So that's essentially the cast, but I do want to get back to the film itself. You said that it had lots of things you love. I'm glad to hear you enjoy it, because I thought it was a great ride. What are some of the things that really shined for you with The Debt?
I think Helen Mirren's character is a very well-written character. We see her start off in the beginning of the film, and she really changes as things happen throughout the film, and she becomes very haunted and very guarded, and that really carries through to the end of the film. I loved all of the actors, and I thought the cinematography was wonderful. There's a sequence that happens in a Berlin train station, and I thought that was beautifully shot and wonderfully edited. I thought the sound design was great, and the way they used sound to enhance certain scenes.
Right, well, there's a lot of use of silence. There are a lot of scenes that go on like a beat and a half longer than you would think a more impatient director would. I really liked kind of the pacing. It didn't feel rushed, except when they were trying to ratchet up the tension, and there was a lot of tension, a lot of edge of your seat stuff. I like what you talked about, sort of the cinematography, and I was really conscious of really great transitions. I mean, this is a film that does move between time periods. They were really clever with visual cues, sort of dropping you into a scene, and you had to kind of briefly or slowly learn where you were. Was it 1966? Was it 1970s? Was it 1997? Is it because a hand is older with jewelry on it? Or is it because of a car or something in the scene as you kind of figure out where you are? They didn't really spell it out. Not very many subtitles telling you about that, because it could all be told visually. And certainly sound design plays a key part. I mean, the train station segment you mentioned is hands down the most exciting sequence in the film. I mean, it's probably its big set piece. One of those things that had you holding your breath. But there's another scene in a kind of a dank apartment where the roof is leaking and there's just water dripping. And yes, water dripping in kind of a creepy, eerie place is often used to make you feel nervous or to make you to ratchet up the tension, as I mentioned. But they do something really clever even with the sounds of that water dripping that becomes important to some developments in the film. So just these little touches were fantastic.
They also used locations to really great advantage, because a lot of the movie feels very claustrophobic. You're stuck for in sure. a tiny apartment for part of the time and in a doctor's office exam room. And there are really only a couple scenes where you see sunlight. And this is really supposed to give you insight into the state of mind that Helen Mirren's character has. And I really liked the way that all of the locations looked.
Well, of course. And when they were back in 1966, there were really subdued hues, lots of earth tones, as they say. And then when you're in the present, a lot of cold sort of stark light there. Really good use of close-ups on faces and eyes. You mentioned the doctor's office. I mean, the one thing that this film perhaps is almost too perfectly good at is that you have this war criminal, this doctor that committed really horrible atrocities on people in the death camps, but he's in hiding. He's in East Berlin. He's trying to be a regular person. And how does he hide out? Well, he's a gynecologist. You know, he's helping women who are pregnant or trying to get pregnant. And when you need to get close to him, when you need to conduct your surveillance, and you're the only woman on the team, when you're Rachel, the only way you can do that is to become a patient of his. You need to submit yourself completely, intimately, physically in this space with this man right up in your business. And I mean, it was almost too perfect in terms of making you hold your breath, making you feel really uncomfortable and nervous.
Perfect or not, you know, as a woman, I got one look at those stirrups and I saw her undress and get very uncomfortable, and it scared me. It scared the hell out of me, that whole sequence in the doctor's office.
And that's just one scene. I mean, a lot of it is really, really well done. Well, let's talk about these performances. And I do think that we spend most of the time, especially in the middle of the film, probably the majority of it in 1966, when they're conducting this operation. And Jessica Chastain is really required to carry a lot of what happens here. I mean, do you think she did herself well?
She did such a great job, because the character of Rachel is so seamless. It seems like Helen Mirren and Jessica Chastain must have sat down together and hung out for a really long time, because they really had the nuances of each other, the way they talked and the way they carried themselves, and the things that happened to Jessica Chastain really affect Helen Mirren, and you could see that in both their performances.
Yeah, you could see a continuity there. I'm not sure if they acted the same. I mean, one thing is that when you see Chastain's character, she seems almost too slight, a little too delicate, a little too vulnerable to be an Israeli agent, but of course she turns out to be able to handle herself quite well. And then you know that something has to have happened because of what you see in Helen Mirren's character, who is very guarded, is very haunted, and something is going on. And I actually thought that Helen Mirren's acting was so strong that it was able to permeate from 1997 all the way back to 1966 and add the weight that Jessica Chastain needed. So even if she alone wasn't able to have the acting chops for the heavier parts of that backstory, because you had Helen Mirren on the other side of this flashback, that was all of the strength that she needed. What about the two young men that, as you mentioned, there is, of course, a small love triangle involved in this story as well?
I thought Martin Sokas was really good. I wasn't that sold on Sam Worthington's character, and I don't know if that's because of Sam Worthington or because of the writing. It just didn't seem like, I mean, we're expected to believe that there's chemistry between Rachel and David, and I really didn't feel that. And I think that might have been because of Sam Worthington.
Well, you had Sokas, and he is, you know, before this sort of setup, you're going to have the really brash, the really ambitious, the really cocky guy, and that was Sokas. And then you had the sensitive one, the thoughtful one, the tortured one, and that was Worthington. And I would agree that Worthington seemed just a little too stiff, a little too reserved. I mean, not necessarily up to what was required of him to make us believe the bond that develops between at least him and Chastain's character, between him and Rachel. But I'm willing to concede that maybe I'm giving a little too much credit to Jessica Chastain for playing Rachel, because Helen Mirren was adding some weight to it. And of course, for Martin Sokas, you have Tom Wilkinson in 1997, and he's fantastic.
He
very
is.
Powerful presence anytime he's on screen. So unfortunately for Worthington, on his other side, you have Kieran Hines, but his character in 1997, out of the three, out of these three war heroes, he is the most mysterious, the most misunderstood, the most absent, and because of that, Worthington doesn't have the benefit of someone on the other side making us feel like we really know or can really identify with David.
That's true, but I have to say Helen Mirren is my favorite part of this film. She's always my favorite part of any film she's in. I've been a big fan of hers since The Queen, and I've gone back and I've watched things that she's done before The Queen, and she just keeps getting better and better, and I really think, I mean, this role was Oscar bait, but I ate it all up.
Yeah, but I was about to say, it is Oscar bait, but it's great. It's delicious, tasty, juicy Oscar bait. She even went places that I thought were absolutely ridiculous. There's a point where she tells Tom Wilkinson's character Stefan, you know, the older, more mature, more respected version of the young, cocky, brash guy in 1966, that his plan is insane, and it is insane. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. I'm nodding. I'm like, yes. And yet, you know, Helen Mirren commits to it. She does it. She gives it her all. And because of that, because we're on board with her, we would follow her to do anything. And I think that's really one of the strengths of this film, that, you know, you take it seriously because they are fully committed to their roles.
And this is not really the type of role Wilkinson usually plays. I'm thinking of movies like Michael Clayton and In the Bedroom, where he's kind of your everyman in a bad situation, but he's really good at taking charge.
Yeah, well, he's more menacing in this film. He's someone who's taken a completely different tack, who's reacting very differently from Helen Mirren's character to the label of hero, to the aftermath of this mission that they went on. So I thought he was great, taking over any room, even though his character is one of, shall we say, a diminished stature. Yeah. It was fantastic. And Kieran Hines, what we did see of him, pivotal role, important character on the other end of Rachel, on the other end of Helen Mirren, the least comfortable with the label of being a hero, the person most troubled by how life went after this mission. But the mission itself is the heart of the film. The middle section is, in my view, the real triumph of the debt, because it has the psychological part, and we can talk a little bit more about that, but it has the spy caper. It has what is almost a standalone, top-notch heist film in there. It's like The Bourne Identity or an actually good Mission Impossible. I was on the edge of my seat a lot of the time.
The key to a good action or heist movie is being able to keep the viewer in the game and aware of what is happening. Sometimes action scenes are very badly choreographed and the viewer doesn't really know where they are in the context of the film. And I think this movie is choreographed so well, and it keeps you really aware of where you are at all times.
It's a fantastic life and death chess game. And yeah, you know where all of the pieces are. The surveillance, the hospital sequence, that great train sequence, all really fantastic. But then when they have to deal face to face with this evil man, with this angel of death, with this Nazi war criminal, when all of a sudden the situation is completely different and they need to get really close to him and deal with him on a personal level, that psychological drama is also really powerful. How this young team, you know, feel that they're acting in the interests of justice of their whole nation of Israel, but also as people, as Jews, and how they, you know, have to handle being in close quarters with someone who's killed and done horrible things to so many of their family members.
Not only do they have to deal with this person, they have to deal with each other, because as they find out, they have very different ways of dealing with this person. And the real psychological part of it comes in when these three have to live together in such close quarters. And as we mentioned, Jesper Christensen is a great villain because his character really believes his twisted views and he's really trying to save his own skin. And the way he goes about trying to get free or
get under their skin.
Get under their skin is really fascinating.
I loved that interplay. I think Jesper Christensen gave me the heebie-jeebies in the best possible way, because he showed just enough humanity, just enough reason to have slight compassion for him before his eyes would turn cold and he would again espouse some horrible view, mostly to knock these three young agents off their balance. And he was so good at it. And just watching them interact and then watching them debate, like, how do we treat him? Are we as bad as he is? I mean, some of these questions were perhaps a little too direct. You know, I saw even what felt like a reference to 9/11 in this film. But despite all of that, I mean, that interaction was a real pleasure to watch. So from the spy thriller, you know, scheme, the heist, to the psychological drama, the character interactions, the jealousy and the anger and the guilt and the rage, all of that is this entire film is a good exploration of these characters over a long period of time, over 30 years, you know, how they deal with what happened and how they reinterpret what happened. And about 2/3 of the way through the film, there's a significant reveal. You did watch this chess game unfold, but what they do is they grab the chess board and turn it under the pieces. And I thought that was really good too.
I thought it was a great reveal and very well done, because in several times in this movie, you see the same scene twice and you come to understand, well, that's why they looked at each other that way, or that's why they said that thing. It really gives you additional insight into the characters.
I mean, for example, there are scenes where, you know, Helen Mirren's character in 1997 is retelling the story of what happened, and she keeps saying this line about, I wasn't thinking about myself, I was thinking about my mother and what she went through in the death camps. And as she says that more than once, and maybe the second time, then the third time, it hurts more and more. You as a viewer, knowing what her character is going through as she says that, I mean, yeah, a fantastic touch. And that reveal sets into motion, very importantly and with great velocity, the last section of the film, the climax of the film, as you will. And I do like that. I mean, we had a great spy caper, we had a great psychological thriller, and now we're going to put it all to rest. These characters in 1997, the older versions of these agents, need closure. They need to come to terms with everything that they went through to become these war heroes in present-day Israel. And I mean, I think that's great. I as I mentioned, you know, Stefan, Tom Wilkinson's character, comes up with a plan that Rachel, Helen Mirren, says is insane, but they go ahead and do it because they feel they need to. And don't get me wrong, it plays out really well. It's put together well. It is a fitting climax to a film that had our hearts racing, and, you know, it gives Helen Mirren a chance to shine even more. But I'm still a little torn in terms of if I'm really satisfied after everything that had come before it, that the combination of a physical and, you know, emotional, spiritual resolution that they come up with is really the one that this film deserved.
As nice as it was to see Helen Mirren in action, I would have been fine if she had just said to Tom Wilkinson, you know what, I think I'm going to pass. Because it would have been nice for her character to find her own inner strength and her own inner peace, and to be able to deal with what she had to deal with in her own way, and to be happy.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I wanted the film to end there. It'd be a very short film in that case. But I do think that because we had such a strong, you know, character story, because we had such a strong psychological drama, because we were really in tune with what was happening in Helen Mirren's head and what it meant, and her family and doing the right thing and guilt and, you know, this national pride and all of that coming together, that there was a way to do it without that last step, without that action movie ending, you know, attempt that they did give us. But it's just a small nitpick, because there's really not too much to nitpick about this film.
Well, there is one thing, and this movie is guilty of it, but so are a lot of other films. A lot of the action in this movie takes place in a gynecologist's office,
right,
and it deals with women getting pregnant, and it just seems like in every movie when we're supposed to find out that a woman is pregnant, she goes all Regan McNeil and
right,
throws up,
yes,
in a scene.
It's the morning sickness.
It's the morning sickness, and it's just, there's so many other ways that you can discuss pregnancy without a woman throwing up in a scene.
Yeah, so I mean, so there is unfortunately some movie cliches that are unavoidable. I think there were more subtle ways to do that. I thought it was relatively subtle, but you can pick it up a mile away, so that's why it was difficult. I would also say that, you know, there is one fight sequence on the floor of a bathroom that is just a step too far in terms of absurdity. I could not resist, despite the fact that it was really a dramatic moment in the entire film, to kind of chuckle. But apart from that, still really loved The Debt. I really liked the soundtrack. It was by Thomas Newman, mm-hmm. and he's done a lot. I mean, he's a really prolific soundtrack writer. He was like American Beauty. He did WALL-E. And
The Lost Boys.
So in terms of ratcheting up the tension, the music was a key part. There is a lot of really effectively used silence in this film, as I said, but the music was important as well. So speaking of scores, we should get to our scores for The Debt. How much did you like this film?
4.
Me too. A solid 4. So that is a score of 8 from Pop Spotting for The Debt.
It came out last week and it stars Helen Mirren, Jessica Chastain, Tom Wilkinson, Martin Sokas, Kieran Hines, and Sam Worthington.
And of course, the evil Jesper Christensen, go check it out. That was Pop Spotting's take on The Debt. And if you've gone out and taken it in, call us up and let us know what you thought. You can leave a voicemail on that or any other topic at 815-310-0808.
You can also leave a comment on our blog at popspotting.net or drop us a line at feedback@popspotting.net.
We'd love it if you'd like and share us on Facebook. You can find us at facebook.com/popspotting, or if you tweet, we can retweet each other at twitter.com/popspotting.
We wanted to let you know, if you're having trouble keeping up with our show, you can sign up to get an email every time there's a new show. It's one of many ways to stay connected with Pop Spotting. Just head over to popspotting.net/subscribe.
Come back tomorrow for TV Tuesday, where we're going to go out riding with a biker gang.
Thanks to Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for our theme song, and mahalo to you for listening.
For Pop Spotting, I'm Ryan.
I'm Jen.
Aloha.